And that is the halachos and the hashkafos of kibud av va'em. One of the things that you discover when you read the Gemaras about kibud av va'em is that they are full of stories. Even though technically it's a sugya of halacha, and oftentimes there are some stories in halachic sugyas, but this is three-quarters stories. And what I think that indicates is that to some degree, these halachos are different than other areas of halacha in Yoredeya. Hilchos Kibud Av Va'em is in Yoredeya, the same section of the Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of kashrus and the like. But the laws are not so straightforward, and they're somewhat subjective. And that explains why the Gemara needs to utilize so many stories in order to convey these halachos. Because you can't just say, this is mutter, this is aser, you're chayiv, you're pater. It's only through the stories which highlight this subjective element that this could be seen. And I'll give you two ways in which I think you see this, and then we'll begin the halachos. The Gemara, the first way in which you see this relates to the scope of the mitzvah. What does kibud av va'em mean? Kabed es avicha v'yasimecha. So we are used to translating kabed es avicha v'yasimecha as honor your mother and father. Give them honor. What's very interesting is that the Gemara describes kabed es avicha v'yasimecha as ezu ikavod machilo mashkehu malbisho manilo. We'll define this a little later, but it means machilo, to give them food, give them drinks, help them get dressed. Basically, the mitzvah of kibud av va'em is defined by the Gemara as taking care of their physical needs. Now, let's say, and this just happened, I told my daughters to go to sleep. So do they have to listen to me? Is that included in kibud av va'em? So you could make the case that it's not. It's not machilo, mashkehu, malbisho, manilo. If I ask them for a glass of water, that would be kibud av va'em. But if I tell them to go to sleep, I don't get any physical benefit out of it, except maybe I can go to sleep. But I don't get any physical benefit. Maybe that's not included in kibud av va'em. You could make that case. Now, we'll see that that is not entirely true. As you might all intuitively appreciate, that one should listen to their parents when their parents tell them to go to sleep. Sometimes you probably wish your parents would tell you to go to sleep at this stage in your life. But anyhow, so what then is the significance? If, as we shall see, the mitzvah of kibud av va'em includes more than machilo, mashkehu, malbisho, manilo, why does the Torah formulate the mitzvah as machilo, mashkehu, malbisho, manilo? Why does the Torah formulate the mitzvah as taking care of their physical needs if it's not limited to that? And one example of that is that the narrow definition of the mitzvah is always, or almost always, relevant, whereas the broader definition, which we could say includes general obedience, is sometimes relevant, maybe typically relevant, but not always relevant. For example, let's say a parent asks a child to do something that's inappropriate. The parent doesn't respect the child's boundaries. Sadly, a lot of the halachic questions of kibud av va'em that I get are instances of that, when parents don't necessarily respect their boundaries of their children. And the question is, how do you deal with that? Let's say a parent asks a child to marry a particular person or not to marry a particular person. Does the child have to listen to them? The parent asks the child to choose a particular profession or not choose a particular profession. Kid wants to go to smicha, and the parents want him to go to medical school or the like. Well, the significance of the very narrow formulation of the mitzvah, that technically speaking, kabed es avicha v'yasimecha means take care of your parents' physical needs, might mean that in cases like these, the child does not have to listen to the parents. Kibud av va'em does not apply to those types of things, who to marry, what profession, and the like. And though generally speaking, we're going to see that you should listen to your parents, because the Torah formulates the mitzvah narrowly, there are going to be times like those when a child doesn't have to listen. And that's one example of how you see that the laws of Kibud Av V'Em are not going to be straightforward. In other words, it's not so simple as to say, Kabed es avicha v'esimacha means you should listen to your parents and everything that they say. Because there are times that you should, there are times that you may, and there are times that you probably shouldn't. Another, and again, we'll get into the details of some of these especially more complicated cases as we go through the halachos. Another reflection of the fact that this is not a typical halachic sugya can be seen in the importance of attitude in this mitzvah. The Gemara says, Tani avimi breid rebi avahu, yesh machil la'avid pisyone, v'tardo min ha'olam. There's one fellow who fed his parents the most delicious food, fattened quail or whatever it is, and this person was nena, she was punished for what he did. V'yesh matchino b'rechayim u'mevi al'chayil maba. And then there's another person who forces his parent to push a millstone, which is very onerous work, and he gets olam haba. Rashi explains how so. The first guy gives his father very fancy food, but when his father asks him, you know, where he got it from, he just says, eat. He doesn't take care of his parents with sefer panim yafos, with a smile and the like. So while he takes good care of his parents, he makes his parents feel very bad about their having their child take care of them. And their nenash. It's not just that they didn't fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible way. The Gemara says, that's not a mitzvah, that's an avera. Why is it an avera? At least he's taking care of his parents. Answer is, but he's taking care of his parents in a way that makes his parents feel really bad about it. We said before that classical kibud av v'em is taking care of your parents' physical needs, like helping them eat or drink or get dressed. I imagine that when parents need those types of services, so those are things that is very hard for a parent. It's typically talking about a parent who's old. It's actually very interesting because a lot of times we think of Kibud Av V'Em as a mitzvah that is relevant when you're a kid. And then you get older and you move away, and then Kibud Av V'Em isn't so relevant. But the truth is, from the Gemara it sounds like, the ikar time that you perform Kibud Av V'Em is when your parents are old. Because when is it that the mitzvah of machilo mashkehu malbisho, right? Malbisho, when would a child have to help his parents get dressed? It's not talking about when the child's young and the parents are young. It's typically talking about where the child's older and the parents are old. So, if you do it in a way that makes your parents feel good, unbelievable mitzvah. If you do it in a way that makes your parents feel bad about having to be cared for, it's not just not a mitzvah, the Gemara says, but it's an aveira. And how is the person who forces his father to work the millstone, how does he get olam haba for that? Because the father was drafted into the king's service to do very hard work, maybe to work for the king in his millstone, and the son says, I'll go in your stead, but you know, somebody's got to grind the flour, so you do that. So here he made his father work, but that's an incredible mitzvah. The other guy gives his father fattened quail, that's an aveira. In other words, what we see is that attitude makes a big difference in the mitzvah. Now that's true in all areas of Kibud Av V'Em, of course, but I think it's especially true it's true in all areas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, but I think it's especially true in Kibud Av V'Em. In fact, it's not even clear how to classify Kibud Av V'Em. Is it a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Chaveiro or a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Makom? Intuitively, we would think it's a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because it involves another person. But, and I guess another aspect of its being Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is we paskin that a parent can be mochel. For example, we'll see shortly that the halacha is a child has to stand when their parents walk into the room. But if a parent is mochel, they don't have to. I remember when I first learned that halacha, I think I was in fourth grade, and my father came home from work, and I stood up, and he looked at me like I was from Mars. So then he told me that he was mochel. So at the time I didn't know what to do, but the answer is that parents can be mochel, right? Which, again, further reflects that it's bein adam l'chaveiro. But at the same time, we see aspects of it being bein adam l'makom. For example, it's on the first of the luchos. Another example is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Chutvin Hein Ba'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'aviv V'imo. There are three partners in the creation of a person: God, his mother, and his father. Bizman Sha'adam Mechabit Es Aviv Es Imo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ala Ani Aleichem, Ki'ilu Darti Beinehem, V'kibduni. If a child takes care of his parents, does Kibud Aveim, the parent says it's as though you have honored me. So being mechabed one's parents is a way of being mechabed Hashem. We'll explain why that is in a second. Another place where perhaps we see it not just being an example of ben adam l'chaveiro is we will see that there's an inyan of kibud avaim even after one's parents have passed away. So that also reflects the fact that it's not a bein adam l'chaveiro, at least a typical one. So we're going to see that it really is not easy to classify and has aspects of both. And I think that the most powerful way we see that is how the Gemara equates the way in which we are supposed to treat our parents to the way in which we're supposed to treat God. The Gemara says the following, Tanu Rabbanan, Namar kabedes avicha v'esimecha, v'namar kabedes Hashem mehonecha. Hishva kasuv kibud av v'eim l'kvod hamakom. The Torah says you have to be mechabed your parents. The Torah says you have to be mechabed God. It equates the two. Namar, ish imo v'aviv tira'u, v'namar es Hashem elokecha tira. It says you shall fear your parents, and it says you shall fear God. So again, hishva kasuv moras av v'eim l'moras hamakom. The Torah equates fear of parents to fear of God. Namar, mekalal aviv imo mos yumas, in terms of the negative commandments, it says, if you curse your parents, you shall surely die. And it says, ish ish ki kalal elokav v'nasachato. And it says, you can't curse God. And finally, there's only one difference. It says, aval be'akav v'ada yafshar. They're not equivalent in terms of hakad. There's an iser of hitting your parents, obviously you can't hit God. But in every possible respect, the same manner of kavod that the Torah says that we should act towards God applies to our parents. Both kavod, yira, and klala, and theoretically hakath or shayach. So, in all respects, it's not, the Gemara says it's very significant. Right, we don't have that with any other mitzvah. We'll talk about, after we're done kibud avim, I want to talk about kavod of Torah scholars and teachers and the like. But what's fascinating is, when it comes to Torah scholars, explicit in the Torah, we don't have a mitzvah of kavod v'yira. Right? When it comes to old people, there are other people that the Torah says we have to honor, old people. For old people, there's a mitzvah of kima v'hidr. But when it comes to parents, it's kavod v'yira, and when it comes to Hashem, it's kavod v'yira. So the psukim themselves are equating the two. So that's part one of our introduction. We'll get to start getting to the details of the halachas in a couple minutes, but that's part of the introduction, part one. Now, in terms of the structure of these shiurim, I'm not sure how long it'll take us. I was originally going to follow the order of the Shulchan Aruch, that's what I brought here, but I think we might miss some things. So I thought we would try it. I looked for a contemporary book, not necessarily to study it, but at least to follow his orders as a guide, and we'll definitely refer to it. So I chose Rabbi Melamed's Sefer. I actually chose it because you can download it for free online. But it's also a very excellent resource. I'm happy to also share my notes, but if anyone wants to follow along, you'll see that it'll be based off of that structure. And as I said, you can get them for free online. So we said before that the Torah equates kavod v'yirah of one's parents and kavod v'yirah of God. And not just that, but if we're mechabed our parents, Hashem says, I want to live with such a person. Now, is it just that, well, it's a good thing to be mechabed your parents and a good thing to mechabed Hashem? Or is there something that's more inherent in terms of the linkage? So I believe that there is. Someone who doesn't honor their parents, what does that indicate? What it shows is that they don't look at their roots. They don't look back at where they come from. They think only of themselves. And that is essentially the root of kfira. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that you have to honor your parents and you have to honor God, because one's mother, father, and God are the three sources for their existence. V'chein bedin, sheshlasht and shutfin bo. The Torah equates honoring God and honoring one's parents because the three of them are shutfin, are partners, in his creation. When a person fails to honor their parents, so they are not acknowledging the debt of gratitude they have for their very existence. Our parents are why we're here. And likewise, kfira is the very same thing. It's rooted in seeing yourself as you are and not acknowledging where you came from. The root of all Avodah Zarah, now is not the time to get into the details, but we discussed this once, is the failure to see ourselves as part of a chain. And that's the root of all kfira. You see yourself as existing, so why does anything else have to be the cause of my existence? Emunah is rooted in this fact that a person asks, you know, well, I exist, but where do I come from? Se'uma romei nechem u'ru mi vara eila. So, just like a person has to ask, where did I come from? And answer, God, and therefore serve God, so too a person has to ask, where did I come from? And the answer is my parents. And when a person doesn't honor their parents, they don't think about who brought me into the world, who changed my diaper when I was a kid, who paid for my braces, whatever it is. So then they're failing to acknowledge their source. And therefore, failure to do kibud av va'eim is failure to acknowledge one's roots. And that's this root of kfira as well. And therefore, the Torah is mashva. The Torah compares kibud av va'eim and kavod hamakom. And moreover, when we do honor our parents, so we connect to the Mesorah. That is the basis for our Mesorah, hopefully. And we're connecting. We realize we don't just exist in a bubble, but we come from something back, something before us, going all the way back to Sinai. And that, too, is a large part of it. So that's the introduction. So now to get into some of the halachos. So first of all, I guess we should mention what the Torah explicitly says in terms of the Torah Shebichsav, and then we'll get into the Torah Shebal Peh. In terms of the Torah Shebichsav, as we alluded to, there are actually four mitzvos in the Torah that relate to one's parents. There is Kaved Esavicha V'Yasimecha, Kavod, and as we said, the implication of that is to take care of their physical needs. There's Yira, the Pasuk says Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u, which means that perhaps is better translated as honor. It refers to honoring or reverence to one's parents. So, for example, and we'll get into the details of this later, but lo omed b'makomo, if a parent has a special spot where he stands among the elders, or makom kavua and shul, so then you can't stand in that place. Lo yoshev b'makomo, if they have a special seat. One's mother or father has a designated seat at the table or in the house, you shouldn't sit there. That's part of Yira. lo soser dvarav, don't contradict them, don't even support them as though, you know, they need your affirmation and the like. So that's mitzvah number two, yira. The next one is not to hit one's parents. And of course, we know you can't hit any Jew. But there's a much greater stringency when it comes to hitting one's parents. Hitting one's parents is a chi of misa. It's an onesh based in, as opposed to hitting anybody else, where it's not a chi of misa. Now, that's obviously if you hit bifnei edim and hasraf, their witnesses, and,
for 6 hours,
and warned intentionally, then one would be chayav mises based in. And finally, not to curse one's parents. There's an isser of being mekal aviv imo. Again, it's usher to curse any Jew, but cursing one's parents is much more chamor. It's a chi of skila. It's interesting. The onesh of cursing one's parents is even greater than the onesh of hitting one's parents, and the like. So that is the what it says in the psukim. So another, I guess, diuk in the pasuk that the Gemara picks up on is the following: why, when it comes to kavod, who's first? Kaved es avicha ve'es imecha. So parent, father comes first. When it comes to yira, it's the opposite: ish imo ve'aviv tirau. So the Gemara answers, this is cited by Rashi on the Torah, that naturally a person is mechabed their mother more than their father. Why? The Gemara says, mipnei shemishadalto bedvarim u'mefayasto, she comforts him with words or the like. I guess more often than not, the mother is softer, gentler, and this naturally leads to a greater level of kavod for one's mother. So therefore it says kabed es avicha v'esimecha, because that's a little less natural, that's a little harder work. The Torah always has to stress what's less natural. And the reverse when it comes to yira. Naturally a person is more fearful of their father than their mother, so therefore it says ish imo v'aviv tirau. The stress is mother first. Now I always thought that meant that because, you know, fathers are strong and scary and mothers are soft and wimpy, but that's not what it means. It actually, the Gemara says it's because the father is, or Rashi says it's because the father teaches Torah, which I guess leads to a level of reverence that you might naturally have to your father in terms of his association with Torah, that you wouldn't have for your mother. But at the end of the day, the mitzvah is equal to both. Mitzvah is equal. You have to have equal kavod and yira to your mother as to your father. And likewise, there's no difference between a son and a daughter. A son and a daughter are both equally chayavim in kavod and yira. The Gemara says that sometimes for technical reasons, we might distinguish, we'll talk about this later, but sometimes technically a son will be more able to do kavod v'yira of his parents than a daughter, because of a daughter or a wife's responsibility towards her home, which might preclude her ability to care for her parents, and the like, and a similar thing with a married woman in terms of kavod. But the Gemara says that's only a technical difference. In other words, if the daughter isn't married, so then there would be no difference. So on a fundamental level, there's no difference between father and mother, no difference between son and daughter. They're all equally chayav. There's no reason why there would be a difference, because it's not a mitzvah saseshes man grama. So that's, again, I guess that was the end of the introduction. So now let's begin the actual halacha. So we're going to begin with a halacha that we all know. But we'll see that actually there are some interesting applications of this halacha that aren't so obvious. And that is the halacha that you're not allowed to call them, your parents, by their name. That's part of yira, presumably. As we said, you have to have reverence to your parents. And I remember there was a person in my shul growing up, Rabbi Dickstein, Alav HaShalom. And he used to say, at some point, I guess, in the 70s or 80s, it started becoming popular for kids to call their parents by their first name. So he thought this was like the first step in the absolute degeneration of society, because if you can't even respect your parents, and the idea was sort of, well, you know, children should be friends with their parents. There's nothing wrong with having a good relationship with your parents. It's a very healthy thing. But there has to be that recognition that parents are parents and kids are kids. They're not friends. They're not equals. And one reflection of that is the fact that you're not allowed to call your parents by their names. And that is the halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch, and this is true, whether you're in their presence or not in their presence. So Shulchan Aruch writes, this is more or less from the Rambam, the lo yikre'enu bishmo, lo b'chayev, the lo b'moso, you may not call your parents by their name, whether your parents are still alive or not alive. Ela omer, ava mori, or imi morasi, you should refer to them as Abba Mori, my father, my teacher. It's okay to also call them Abba or Ima, if that's what they want, or dad or mom or whatever it is, but it has to be some title. Haya shem aviv kishem acherim. What about if your father's name is like another person's name? My father's name is Harry. It's not, but we'll see in a moment why I can't use his actual name as an example. So my father's name is Harry, and I have a friend named Harry. So then, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishane Shmam. You can't call your friend Harry. Im hu shem shehu pil'i. If it's an unusual name, she'en hakol regilim likros bo. So is Harry a normal name or is it an unusual name? How many people here know a Harry? All right. So something's hard to know exactly. A common name, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Racha, Leah, Miriam, Yocheved, those types of names you could call if your friend's name is Yocheved and your mother's name is Yocheved, no problem, call your friend Yocheved. But if your mother's name is Varda and your friend's name is Varda, so then you can't call your friend Varda. So what do? You have to call her a different name. Vardish? I don't know. We also learned here that you have to be very careful never to give nicknames that other people might find offensive. So figure out something that she likes, or call her by, Miss whatever her last name is, Miss Finkelstein, because you can't call her Varda, because that's your mother's name. And that's an unusual name.
Going by the name that your mother goes by?
Yeah, I think so. Let's finish. Aval, shame shiragilin bo, but if it's a normal name, like Yocheved, so then mutter likros acherim, then you could call your friend Yocheved, shelo b'fanav, not in the presence of your mother. So in the presence of my mother, if my mother's name is Miriam, I can't call my friend Miriam in her presence. So I should refer to her by something else, but I may not refer to her as Miriam. But not in my mother's presence, I could refer to her as Miriam. But if it's an unusual name, my mother has an unusual name, I may not even refer to my friend by that name. Why is this? So the Taz explains, because we don't want anyone to think that you're referring to your mother by your actual name. So if your mother's present, and my mother's name is Miriam, I say Miriam, so it's not clear to everybody if I'm referring to my mother or this friend. So I can't refer to my friend as Miriam. If my mother isn't present, so since Miriam's a common name, nobody's going to think I'm referring to my mother. They'll presume I'm referring to Miriam. But if my mother's a very unusual name, then people might think I'm referring to my mother even if my mother isn't present. Just one more second, let me go through some of the basics. The Tur is very bothered by this halacha. It's a chiddush of the Rambam. It's not explicit in Shas. He doesn't know where the Rambam gets it from. The Gra, though, says, it's a very interesting source, Rabba used to call his chavrusa, Nachmeni, by the name Abaye. Abaye was not his real name. It was really Nachmeni. So why did he call him Abaye? Answer is because Rabba's father's name was Nachmeni. Apparently Nachmeni is not a common name, so he used to call him Abaye. And from here we see that this is this halacha. So now, a couple of exceptions. First of all, we said before, if your parents don't mind, are mochel, then mechila works. Now, we said before, even if your parents are mochel, and your father says, I want you to call me Reuven, you should still call him Abba. But if your parents are mochel on this, because you have your best friend who happens to have the same unusual name as your mother, and your mother says it's fine, I'm mochel, then I think it's okay to be lenient in that case. So mechila works. Now, a couple other things, and then I'll take your questions. What about if you want to refer to your father or mother? So I want to say, I heard the following halacha from, so I can't refer to my father's name. And I can't even refer to him with a laudatory title, because I could just say my father. The Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef asks, why is it that the Rush can refer to his Rebbe as the Maharam? He says that's because the Rush had more than one Rebbe. So since it was necessary to specify who his Rebbe was, he would say, my Rebbe, the Maharam. But a person only has one father and one mother, so you could always just say, Avi Mori, Imi Morasi, taught me such and such, or told me such and such, or the like. So you should never refer to them by their name. But what about if somebody wants to know your parents' name? Somebody goes up to you and says, what's your mother's name? So it's not so helpful if you say, Imi Morasi. So are you allowed to refer to your mother by your name? So the halacha, at least for Ashkenazim, I'll tell you what for Sephardim in a second, is yes, but you must use some type of title of respect. So you could say, my father is Mr. John Green. My mother is Mrs. Miriam Grossman, whatever it is, because in that case, you're using the title. Or my father is Reb Chaim. If he's a Rav, you could call him Rav Chaim. You could do whatever you want. I know that whenever I get called up to an aliyah, so they ask me for my name, so you're called up as, you know, my name is Reuven Ben Chaim. So I don't want to say Reuven Ben Chaim is my name, because I don't want to say my father's name, so I say Reuven Ben Reb Chaim. So a lot of times Gabbaim think I mean to say Rav Chaim, so they give my father smicha. Okay, nu. It's okay if they give him smicha, but I shouldn't really say his name without using some type of title. Now, sometimes it feels a little awkward. You know, somebody says, what's your mother's name? And you say, Mrs. Miriam so-and-so, and it's not so normal anymore. And there are some people that are lenient about this because they say that, well, presumably your mother or father is mochel, and they probably are. But still, I still think that the proper thing to do is to follow what the strict halacha is, which is that if you need to use their name, so then you should use some type of title that shows honor. Mr., Mrs., Reb, Doctor, Rav, Rabbi, whatever it is, Mar, and the like. Sfardi poskim say it's okay to refer to them as Abba. You still can't say my, or Ima. My mother's name is Miriam, but you could say my mother's name is Ima Miriam, if that's any better. Ashkenazi poskim sound like you need even more than that. You need some type of title that shows honor. There might be one exception to this, and that is if a person's parent is sick. So then the halacha is, let's say if a person's Rebbe is sick, or a Rav, people now are davening for the Refuah Shleima of Rav Steinman. So he's a gadol ador. But the halacha is that there's no kavod b'fnei amakom. So even when you're davening for the gadol ador, there are different opinions about this, but the most common opinion is that you would not you would go ahead and not use the title. You don't usually, if you're referring to the Gadol HaDor, Harav or Harav HaGaon or something like that. But when you're davening before God there is no honorifics, and therefore you don't use their title. You don't use their title when davening for them. But generally speaking, for parent, that isn't necessary, because you can daven and just refer to them as Avi. I was going to look this up before, but I forgot to. I think there's a Birke Yosef that talks about it. Let's see if I can find it for one second. I'll find this later. Okay. Yes, so there are some questions. Let me take the questions on calling and name calling. There's an old minhag to call your kids Mamala and Tatala. Heard of that? So where do you think that comes from? It comes from this. Because Baruch Hashem now it's, I guess, a little less common because people live longer. But it's common to name your child after your parents. If you're Sephardi, they could even be alive. But if you're Ashkenazi don't generally name their children after their parents if their parents are still alive. But if a person has lost their parents, the most common name you're going to give is that. So it was common for people to have their children named as the same name as their parents. We said before that it's not right to call other people by the names of your parents. So they started calling their kids Mamala and Tatala. Right? Which is funny. Like, why are you calling your kid your mother? But it's because your kid had your mother's name and your kid had your father's name. So that's where the very common sort of Yiddish expression of calling your daughter Mamala and your father your son Tatala, that's actually where it comes from. It's a funny thing, but it comes from this halacha. Okay, yeah, the questions.
I have a few questions. In terms of not calling someone else with the same name, would it work if you use the first name and a middle name or last name so it's clear?
No, that would be okay. In other words, once it's clear, Varda Rivka, so that would be okay, I think so, based on the Taz.
And does this
That's a good solution, right, if they have a middle name.
Does this halacha apply to grandparents also or only parents?
That's a good question. I think it probably is I'll double check, but just to parents. We'll see that there is a mitzvah of being mechabed one's parents, but it's not as chamor as being mechabed one's parents. Yes?
What if you're talking to your parent about someone with the same name?
I think that would be okay, because then there's no confusion. Unless it could be somehow understood as referring to them. In other words, if you're talking to your father about someone and who has your mother's name, then it would be a problem. But if you're talking to your mother, then it would be clear. I think that would be okay. Yes?
So what if, like, let's say your mom is like,
right.
Is that A, okay, for you to say, and B, for, let's say, the grandkids?
So, it's a good question. The answer is that you're allowed to refer to your parents, according to, I think, standard Ashkenazi Psak, Pesachei Tshuva, and others. You can refer to your parents with a name, as long as you have a title, when that's necessary to otherwise avoid confusion. But if it's not necessary, then you shouldn't. So for your grandchildren, I think it would technically be okay, again, with that title. Yeah. Okay, it's a good question. So we're going to see that the halacha is that there is a mitzvah of kavod both for in-laws and step-parents. It's a little less than regular kibud aveim, but it does exist. But I don't think that we're going to be that strict. In terms of in-laws, I think the practice is not to call your in-laws by their name. It's always when people first get married or engaged, one of the tricky things is, what do we call the in-laws? And it takes forever to sort of get used to the right title. My father is like American as American could be. Doesn't speak a word of Yiddish. But he used to call my grandparents, my mother's parents, Schwer and Schwieger. But I think the answer is that you probably shouldn't call your in-laws by their first name. If they insist, and they're mocha, then it's okay. In terms of step-parents, so again, I think if that's what they want you to call them, then that's okay. That's everything. Again, technically speaking, mechila works for all of this. It's just inappropriate to rely on mechila for your parents themselves. But other people who you have to be mechabed, like a step-parent or the like, then mechila is certainly okay. Yes?
If you say your own name, mm-hmm. like Ben, Bob, whatever, then isn't that like you're saying your name, not like...
It's a good question. I think some people rely on that. But the Pesachei Tshuva and others say no, that it's your name, Ben, your parents' names. If you're using your parents' name, then you should still have a title. Again, many are Mekel, and they rely on that, or they rely on Mechila or the like. But ideally, one should be Machmir, and whenever using one's parents' name, use a title. In fact, the Poskim ask, how could the tour refer to his father as the Rush? He writes in his commentary in the Torah, Adoni Avi HaRush. So that's like a lot of titles. Adoni Avi HaRush, which stands for Rabbeinu Asher. But they ask, it's wrong, because he could just say Adoni Avi, and it's clear what he's talking about. He only had one father. So the answer is that the Poskim say, in the Shulchan Aruch, how could he say Adoni Avi HaRush? It's because Rush isn't just Rabbeinu Asher, but it's Rosh L'chol Yisrael. So the name Rush had an additional, you know, aspect to it. And therefore, there's room for leniency. But otherwise, it would be Asher. So that's I think, ideally what one should do. Yeah. Still, but it's an acronym that stands for Rabbeinu Asher. It's an acronym that stands for his name. So if it wasn't for the fact that it also was Rosh L'chol Yisrael, it would be inappropriate. So I think you're laughing, but that highlights how careful we are. Right? How careful we are. You're right. You could have said that. You could have said that the name is only the actual name, not an acronym. Yeah, that's what I do. When somebody asks me my name, I say, again, I'm not going to say it now because it's not necessary. It's only when it's necessary. But when the Gabbai asks me my name, so let's say my father's name was Chaim, so I say, my name is Netanel ben Reb Chaim. I think, again, most people are makel about this, and they probably yesh, they have upon whom to rely, because there's presumably mechila, and you could say, like you were saying, it's not root. No, that's their father's name. That's the way their father's called up to the Torah.
What about like for if you're like would say like your first name for your sibling?
Yeah, so that's an example where I think we would say that that it might be okay because there's no kavod lifnei hamakom.
Oh.
There's no kavod lifnei hamakom. In other words, the normal rules of respect in terms of titles don't apply when you're davening to God. Because before God, so the honor that we have to give everybody besides God is nothing compared to the honor we give them. Aliyah, they're just calling your name up. It's not a tefillah. Aliyah is just, you don't have to really say Ben your parents. I went to a yeshiva in Israel, Yeshiva Chevron. So there, they don't bother with the parents' name. Yamo, Netanel. Makes the Gabbai's job much easier. They don't bother with any of this Ben so-and-so. So the practice, the minhag in most places is to use the parent's name, but you're just calling him by his name. It's not a tefillah. Okay. Yeah.
Based on this question about if the father doesn't go by that name, if you have a parent who has both an English name and a Hebrew name, do you have to be careful about using both names in front of them?
I think you could make the case that if they never go by that name, then you don't have to worry about calling your friend by that name if nobody's going to confuse them with your parents. Because like we said, the Taz explains that the whole reason for this is because people would think that they're there. So I think that would be, that one could be lenient in that. Okay. Next topic. Don't have so much time, but we'll do one more topic, which is a very famous one. The prohibition against waking when sleeping parents. So there is a very famous story in the Gemara about this. The Gemara says, "Bo minei mirav ula ad heichan kibud avaim." How far does kibud avaim go? And note that we use the word kibud here. I'll explain the significance in a minute. So what's the, you know, how far does one have to be careful about kibud avaim? So amar lahu tzu re'u ma asa ovi kochavim echad ba'ashkelon v'dama ben nesina shmo. Look how careful about kibud avaim was a non-Jew, Dama ben Nesina. It's very significant that we learn about kibud avaim from a non-Jew. We acknowledge that non-Jews could also excel in this, perhaps especially so, and we wish to learn from them. Pam achas bikshu chachamim prakmatia b'shishim ribo schar. Once the chachamim were looking for merchandise for $600,000 or whatever the currency was. Some sources have this as the stone for the ephod, or for the choshen. Vaya mafteach munach tachas meiroshosev shel aviv. And the key was under the pillow of his father, the lot zero. And he didn't cause him pain by waking him up. And he lost the chance, they went on to the next customer. So he lost a huge amount of money so as not to awaken his father. And I'd like to make 2 points. First of all, he uses the word lot zero. He didn't cause him pain. In other words, not waking up one's parent is a very important thing, as we see from this Gemara. But what is it? What's the general rule? The answer is one has to be very, very careful about not causing pain to one's parents. And an example of that is not waking them up, because nobody likes to get woken up. And we'll see in a second, the opposite of kibud avaim is causing your parents tsar. Kibud is taking care of their physical needs, while being mitzar them is the opposite. So one has to be very careful about being mitzar. In fact, the Gemara says here he lost a huge amount of money. Later on, I guess not today, but next time we'll see how the halacha is, you don't have to spend your own money for kibud avaim, generally speaking, your parents' money. Right? If your parents ask you to go grocery shopping, so you can charge them. You have to listen to help them go grocery shopping, but you don't have to pay for it yourself. So why did Dama ben Nesina lose all this money? It's his money. So there are different answers to this question. We'll talk about others when we get there. But a number of Rishonim answer that because, well, you don't have to use your own money to be mechabed them, like to get them food and drink, but you do have to be willing to give up your own money so as not to cause them tsar. That's how important it is. So Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shalos Rabbi Lazar at Hechem Kibud Avaim, Amar Lamtu Re'u Ma'as Avi Kochavim, Echad Aviv Ba'ashkelon V'dam Ben Nisina Shmuel, Bikshu Mimenu Chachamim Avanim Le'efod, B'shishim Ribo Schar, Rav Kana Masni B'shmonim Ribo, V'ayim Avteach Munach Tachas Mei Rav Shosef Shal Aviv, V'lo Tziro, L'shana Acheres, what happened the next year, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharo, he got rewarded, Shenoldu Lo Para Aduma Be'edro, a Parah Aduma, which was very valuable, was born into Dama ben Nesina's flock. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael Etzlo. Amar Lahem, Yodea Ani Bachem, Shem Ani Mevakesh Mikem, Kol Mamon Shebo'olam Atem Nosnin Li. Dama ben Nesina said to the Chachamim, I know that whatever I ask, you'll pay for this. They really needed the Parah Aduma. Whatever I ask for, I would get. Ella, Ein ani mevakish mikem el osa mamon shesadati b'shvil kavodav. I don't want to benefit too much from the mitzvah I did. I'm only going to ask for the money that I lost for kibud avaim. It's also a very interesting ha'ara, but we'll leave it there for now. We're running out of time. V'amir chanina umami she'enu mitzvah v'osekach. If a non-Jew, who's not even formally obligated to kibud avaim, was so careful about it. Kach mitzuvah v'osa alachas kav v'chama. Certainly, we who are commanded, Amar Chanina Gadol, mitzuvah v'osa yosem yimesh enu mitzuvah v'osa. Now, an obvious question everybody has in this story is, Nisina, right, Dama's father. So, what would he have said when he woke up? Let's say, you know, an hour or two later, Nisina wakes up from his nap, and Dama said, guess what? I had a chance to make $600 million, and I didn't want to wake you up. So, Nisina is going to say to Dama, you idiot! Are you crazy? We should have just sold it and we'll split the money. Right? So the Sefer Hasidim says, of course, that's true. Meaning to say, if a person knows that his father, his mother, would be very upset that he wasn't woken up, so of course you should wake up your father or your mother. This is not about like a chok, don't wake up your parents. The reason why you shouldn't wake up your parents is because you shouldn't be mitzayer your parents, like we said. So if it's not going to cause them tsar, then you should wake them up. If they would want you to wake them up under these circumstances, then indeed you should wake them up under these circumstances. And this is the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, if you could wake them up through somebody else who's not their kid, that's a little better, I suppose. So you're not directly causing them pain. But if that's impossible, then you could wake them up. So what happens if your parents say, you know, your father asks you, could you wake me up in a half hour for mincha? Should you wake them up? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're going to say, Dama ben Nisina, I'm going to let him sleep through mincha. No, he wants you to wake him up. He asked you to wake him up. Then I would say it's a mitzvah of kibud av v'eim to wake him up. So, you know, I guess you should try to do it as gently as you can. But if one's parents ask them to wake them up, then the mitzvah would be to wake them up. But if you're home and somebody says, can I speak to your father? It's very urgent. You shouldn't be so quick to wake them up. Why is it so urgent? Unless you can be certain that your parents will want you to wake them up for this urgent call, then you shouldn't wake them up. If you think that they would want you to wake them up for this urgent call, then you should. I guess sometimes it's not so clear. But that's the halacha. So this should be seen as an example of a general rule, which is how far we should go not to cause our parents pain. I guess sometimes it's going to be more difficult, and we'll talk about these examples next week, which is you really don't want to cause your parents pain, but they're asking you to do something unreasonable. And in that case, could be that you don't necessarily have to listen to them, even if that would cause them pain. But we'll get to those tricky cases next week, Bezras Hashem. You have a question? So, again, these are tricky calls. If you think that your parents will want you to wake them up for the visitor, then it's okay. I would say that if you're not sure, shev al tasa, don't wake them up. But if you think your parents are going to be real upset if they weren't woken up, so then you should wake them up. Yeah?
So what if you know your parents will be upset if not necessarily they really want you to wake up and they miss out, but you know they'll be okay?
Again,
you
can't be a Navi, and you don't know, so you have to make your best call, your best guess. But I would say if you're unsure, better not to wake them up. If you're unsure, we'll say Sheva Al Tasa, don't do anything, let them sleep. But if you're sure that they would want you to wake them up under these circumstances, so then you should. And if you can, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you need to wake them up, and you can, so if there's somebody else to wake them up, better for you not to do it, not to directly cause them this pain. All right, so we'll stop here, and Bezras Hashem, pick up next week.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I saw the email.